According to John. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and believing in Jesus. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Sanctify us in the truth, O Lord, your word is truth. Amen. So I suppose I should really give credit for the idea for these Lent talks to my spiritual director, really, who was brilliant and has worked with me about trying to engage with the Jesus we find on the Gospels. Now, in one sense, that seems like a perfectly obvious thing. Of course, we'd be doing that and ordained and all those sorts of things. But she would say things like, "Say, how does that make you feel? What would Jesus be saying to you at this moment?" And I'd be going, "Well, I don't know." And I think it reflected for me a fact that, to some extent, I'd put faith in a kind of box which was partly academic, partly kind of thought out, partly cautious about saying too many things about God, that God might be interested in me, or you for that matter. And those are things which I believe to be true, but she was helping me, really pushing me, I think, to say, "Well, what if Jesus was here with you? What if he was saying something to you at this point? Imagine what that would be like." And that's been quite a journey, really. And it kind of inspired a bit the idea for taking Jesus at his word this week. And we do that all the time. I know we do that all the time. But actually what I was hoping and praying was that some of the experience, some of the push that she'd given me to think and imagine about how Jesus might be speaking to you, might be for you this year. It was really just sharing some of that experience, I hope, with you. And of course, I guess we all imagine a certain voice that Jesus has, and we imagine that there are scenes in the Gospels where we think Jesus will be cross, Jesus will be calm, Jesus have this lovely voice. I imagine we'll all imagine that Jesus will have a voice of a certain kind for us. And of course, the way in which we hear it is through the words. And that's the sense of paying attention to the words that he spoke, the words that were on his lips. Now, through this week, we get John's Gospel. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you get chunks of John, and then obviously Thursday we do for the Last Supper and so on, and the washing of the feet, and the long reading on Good Friday is from John. So that's a treat, really. John's Gospel is a wonderfully rich Gospel. And tonight's passage, the words for us for tonight, are themselves, it's one of my favourite passages from the Gospels. And the context is quite important for us to hear that wonderful moment of Mary anointing Jesus' feet. It's hinted at in the passage, isn't it? But it's very matter of fact. So Martha and Mary and Lazarus are putting on a dinner for Jesus. Now, this wasn't a kind of beans on toast affair, I imagine. This was a dinner for Jesus who would raise Lazarus from the dead. And the raising of Lazarus from the dead was not mouth-to-mouth resuscitation because he'd just dropped dead. It was, as you'll know, 4 days he'd been dead in the tomb. There was the smell and all that stuff that went with it. And then Jesus raised him to life. So imagine that being the context for the dinner for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Imagine that sense of, goodness me, here's the man who has saved our brother. And that's the context in which you hear Mary, that wonderful act, that wonderful sensual act of anointing his feet with this costly perfume and the aroma. Isn't it lovely? The aroma fills the whole house. And she wipes his feet with her hair. I've always just thought, practically, that can't be a very practical way of wiping feet. But anyway, that's the image that we have. And it's a beautiful image. It's a beautiful image of love and care for him. And into the mix comes Judas. Poor old Judas, but he has those words on his lips, doesn't he? Why wasn't this money, why wasn't this costly nard sold and the money given to the poor? You know, you think, of course, that makes perfect sense, Judas, that makes perfect sense, of course we should do that. And then Jesus, as he does throughout this week, and again, going back to that, taking seriously what he's saying to us, gives us a surprising answer. I'm not sure it's the answer I would have expected. You will always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. Now, I mean, he's right. 2,000 years on, we still have the poor with us, tragically, and we don't have him. But it's not what you expect him to say, sort of. You'd almost expect him to say there'd be an answer for both of these things. She can do this, and we can still look after the poor, but he doesn't say that. And if we're taking him at his word, we need to ponder and reflect on that. You will always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. And there are two things that come out of it for me, I think. And I hope and pray that you will have your own reflections if you take those words and this gospel home with you. But the two things for me are, well, I can think of one of them. I'll have to come back to it in a moment. The second one, which is connected to the first. Oh, yes, yes, there we are. I knew it would work eventually. The first one is about being in that moment. There's something powerful about Jesus saying, she is doing something in this moment for me that matters. And if I am to say, and if I am to take that act seriously, then I need to honour it. I need to honour that she is doing something and it matters. And I think there's certainly something there for me as a human being, and certainly as a priest. And I don't think there's anything particular about priests, but, you know, imagine the pressures on Jesus. Imagine the kind of sense of, there are lots of people that need his healing touch. There are lots of people that need his presence, all that sort of thing. But Jesus says, no, this matters. What this woman is doing for me, matters, and he pays attention to her. He honors what she's doing. And I think, you know, we can always be caught up in what we need to do next. And certainly from my point of view, there's always, you know, 20, 30, 40 people you think you could visit, and then you feel bad about it, and then you know, all that sort of cycle that goes on in our lives. But actually, there's a comfortingness to this, that Jesus is saying, the person before me is, and at this moment is what matters. So that's that first observation for me that I take from that passage, listening to him speaking. And the other is about receiving, I think, which is connected to that first one, which is that Jesus is content to receive from her. He's not asking anything from her, you know, he's not asking anything, he's not... he's not, as I say, his mind's not elsewhere. He's just content to receive. That this is a beautiful act that this woman is doing for him out of love and care and kindness and just sheer thanksgiving for what he has done for her and that family. And again, I think there's something about that for all of us, perhaps, that sometimes we are good at giving. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. We need to be good at giving. We need to be able to be caring and kind and compassionate to each other. But there's something here about receiving, and that sometimes we're less good at that. Sometimes we're less good at receiving the care that someone gives us. We kind of say, well, yes, but I don't really matter, do I? But yes, you do, and someone is doing something for you sometimes. And sometimes we lose that. We don't honour the fact that someone is doing something for us and that that's important and it matters and it's cost them something. Again, I'm conscious of that, I think. And I think we all like to look like we're in control, look like we're all right, look like we're fine, whereas sometimes we just need to let people in, because they might be those angels in disguise, let them in and let them care for us, just like she did for Jesus. So that's this evening. We talked yesterday about Mary and pondering the words in our hearts. So we'll just take a minute or two to do that, and then Lynn will lead us in our prayers.
Jesus said, "When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also." Let us pray to God, our Redeemer, Creator, and Friend. We give thanks for this day now past, for all that we have done, and for all that we have received from others. We offer our burdens and cares to God for him to carry. We give thanks for the great benefits that he has bestowed to us. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We remember Martha and Mary and Lazarus gathered in the presence of Jesus. We give thanks for his love to them. And we remember when we have been in the presence of Jesus, when we have known of his love and felt his touch. As we journey through this week, may we be mindful of Jesus. For all he means to us, and the sacrifice that he gave. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for our world, created in love, but often destroyed in war and unrest. We hold before God the continued situation in the Ukraine. May you, Lord, bless all those who are displaced from their home. For all those who are injured in the warfare. And the many who grieve the loss of their loved ones. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for this community of St. Mary in Colton and Whitkirk. In this, our Holy Week, we be present, God, in our worship together. In our Holy Week devotions. And in our homes. As we join with Christians across the world to enter into the suffering of your Son, we ask that you will be a light in our darkness, a hope to the lost, and a comfort to the suffering. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for anyone suffering at this time in body, mind, or spirit. We hold before you all those who are ill at this time, in hospital or at home. We pray especially for all those from this community who have asked for our prayers. Remember for good, Lord, all those who have entered into your kingdom and now are in your eternal light. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went up not to joy, but first he suffered pain and entered not into glory before he was crucified. Mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Merciful Father, turn us from sin to faithfulness and from disobedience to love, and prepare us to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ our Saviour, who is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For as the time of his passion and resurrection draws near, the whole world is called to acknowledge his hidden majesty. The power of the life-giving cross reveals the judgment that has come upon the world and the triumph of Christ crucified. He is the victim who dies no more, the lamb once slain who lives forever, our advocate in heaven to plead our cause, exalting us there to join with angels and archangels, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms and bring us with Blessed Mary and all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Standing at the foot of the cross, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself in taking the form of a servant and in obedience died on the cross for our salvation. Give us the mind to follow you and to proclaim you as Lord and King to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Christ crucified, draw you to himself to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Thanks be to God.